and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. This is the last episode in our Guild Ball week. It's been fun so far.
I've loved it. Loved every minute.
So I'm joined again by Matt and Loxham.
Hello.
And today is questions. The other day I asked for questions on Twitter that I could ask the guys. And that's what we're going to do for this episode. Some of them are very sensible. Some of them not so sensible. But we'll just go straight into it. So our first question was from Doc Bungle on Twitter. Everyone's got a Twitter name, so I won't say on Twitter. And he says, his question is, when is it out and will you let me review it?
Yes to the last.
Yes to the last one.
Absolutely.
Release date, we have been tending to hit the kind of the 21st, 22nd of Feb. It might move...
For the Kickstarter.
Yeah, for the Kickstarter. Mild heart style there.
Yeah. I was just watching my schedule go up in flames there.
Yeah, live heart attack on air there.
Yeah, it's like a... we call that a Molyneux moment in the games industry.
That's our intention. It might move a little bit before that and a little bit earlier, or just a touch later, but not too far. So it's around then, depending on a few things.
But then what we would be aiming to do, and it depends on how successful we are, you know, if we get up to the top level tiers, then we might need to do a staggered release. But I would absolutely like to get something out sort of end of Q3, early Q4 this year. We don't want to hang around, and we certainly don't want to end up being vaporware.
I think we have, you know, we've got the artist in place, we've got the sculptor in place, and they know that the Kickstarter's happening and they're fully supporting us on that. So, yep. You know, the assets and everything are in place. So it's not like it's going to be like, oh, can you now do some art? It's, you know, it's already pre-arranged, pre-agreed that
that's... Yep. Then we got deals in place with distributors as well.
Shout out to Element Games, by the way, because they've been massively supporting us, sending the business cards out 400 a week at the moment. So, you know, big up for them.
Byron and his guys rock. And Byron's going to paint some models for us as well.
Yes.
Byron and his guys do indeed rock.
They do.
Yes.
They are excellent. So the next question, I think we've covered most of it over the last few days. When does the Kickstarter start? You just said. How many what fractions are there? We covered that the other day.
Yep.
You just want to recap?
Yeah, just briefly. So there's four factions at release with plans for dozens more. But they are the Butchers, the Fishermen, the Morticians, and the Masons.
And his final question of this tweet, he has sent more questions in. Ties in with our discussion the other day about gamers being cheap, is, can I afford it?
And I think did I see a reply to that, which was, why are you asking us? Shouldn't you be asking your other half?
Yes.
Well, it's a skirmish game, so yes, absolutely.
Like we said before, the price point is pretty fair because it's, you know, you buy a team and you can play with that team, you know. And obviously, like games like Malifaux, you can add to more models in, etc., but that's totally dependent on you, you know.
Right. So that actually, this is a question from me, and I'll add extra time for the episode if we need it. So the starters are six models.
Yep,
correct.
But we've talked about that you can add extra models and things. Is your plan for the game to keep it at a 6 to 8 model game, or do you have grander plans to go, you know, 15, 20 model type games?
I think it's a really difficult question to ask. We don't want to give too much away. It'd be fair to say that, you know, in playtesting, we've playtested with more numbers. We've playtested with mixed team levels with, you know, potentially the universe is pretty big for Guild Ball, so it'll be interesting to see where we go.
So theoretically it could go down the War Machine level and change from being a skirmish game to being an army game.
No, I think I'll go on record and saying it's a skirmish game.
Guild Ball, as it is a skirmish game.
I can see it if I'm speculating, and this is speculation, so Loxham can send me a private message in Skype to tell me to shut up in a minute, but I think we can top out 11 aside.
I was going to say, 11 seems a sensible number to sort of get to, doesn't it?
I mean, but, we like I said, we have explored that, so I think it'd be fair to say that it isn't out of the realms of possibility.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of how we want to grow, we obviously have a core, you know, we have a number of guilds. We want the number of guilds and variety of guilds to expand, but we also want the depth of the roster available to each of the guilds to increase. So, you know, it actually becomes a selection choice that you need to make, and that's where people can discover cool plays, you know, unique combos between different models. And kind of a semi-reveal that some players might be able to play for more than one guild. I'm just saying.
Maybe
mercenary type players.
Yeah, or kind of dual guild kind of
dual
like.
Guild.
Maybe dual guild players.
Yeah.
I'll let you off the hook now. That darn Satan, John Sheffield says he'd love to hear about the art production process, how you've gone back and forth with your artist and stuff.
Okay, so the initial contact with Doug was a call with him. Basically gave him a verbal briefing and then pulled together a art style Bible, which is something that I've done, you know, in video games development. An art style Bible comprises of basically written description of the teams, the world, the individuals, their names, their personalities, and then you basically reference actors that they might look like, you reference mannerisms that they might have, equipment that they might use, you talk about color palettes, you talk about textures. So one of the things I was quite keen to build in, because I'm a painter, is I want the models to have a variety of textures. So you see metal plates next to leather, but you also see fur, you see cloth areas where people can actually, if they're good, you know, if they want to paint freehand patterns on or numbers on, or so there's swatches on each of the characters that enable you to identify your team's colors. So we've built a whole bunch of kind of core elements into the fundamental design. Doug went off, rattled up some very quick pencil sketches, quick round of feedback, stuff that we thought really hit the money, stuff that we thought didn't. That list was incredibly short, and he basically polished them off, and that was it. You know, the setup with Doug is that he is our art director. He basically sets and defines the visual look and feel of the world. So he is an expert in his field and we trust him implicitly, and he's doing us an absolutely amazing job.
Cool. I am SSSK came back with are you going to do some videos demoing the basic rules and interactions and things?
Absolutely. We've got planned. We're going to effectively do several mini kind of clips that explain some of the systems we've talked about. For instance, you know, there'll be an episode on our YouTube for the momentum system, the influence system, the dice mechanic, and a lot of the things we've kind of started to talk about through the Facebook and on podcasts like yours, just to explain them and show them in a visual way. Obviously, we're just waiting for our production models to come through, which should be tomorrow, well, last week, if that makes sense. So once they come through, we're obviously going to do it properly and video these sections and put them up.
Right. Gorilla Wizard asked us, or asked you, didn't ask me, how many models aside is the average game? We just sort of talked about that.
The game is balanced and optimal at six aside at the moment, one of which is a mascot. But we do have plans for a mild expansion beyond that.
Yeah.
And a sort of follow-up question, he asks, is it points-based on when you're building your team out, or
we're trying to agree on this? Well, not agree. It's not that we disagree. There's a number of options we've got. The easiest one is to give each character a points value, and basically you build a list. But I'm trying to. I mean, and that's our default position. So that's safe. We've got that. We know the relative worths of the guys. So we'd probably do like a gold roster, you know, a starting gold or whatever.
Yeah,
but the thing that I want to work on and I haven't fully formed the idea in my head, but is one where the roster is fixed. So it's six players. Now you can put like the most, you know, Billy Whiz guy who's absolutely amazing at everything in, but we need to find a way of balancing him against the guy who's not so good at as he is. So so we're actually looking at using war gear as optional equipment that you buy. So if you've got like Captain Awesome, his war gear actually is probably going to be quite expensive for you to access the better end war gear. Whereas you might have like more run of the mill guy and his war gear is a little bit cheaper. So the war gear will be the points cost. So you might only have 5 gold crowns to spend on war gear. And you need to spread that across your entire team. So it's a little bit like the Malifaux kind of optional stuff. I really like the way that that enables you to build the complexity of your character in the way that you want it to, rather than it all being built into the character from the beginning.
I think it's a good point to say now that the people that participate in the Kickstarter will be part of our field test as well. So they will get, apart from the normal kind of set of rules we've got, they'll get a lot of the stuff we're testing, like Matt said about the upgrades, kind of the war gear style. And we're throwing these to the kind of field test and have appropriate feedback forms and build the game from people's experiences and knowledge.
And this is why it's an advantage to us, and a distinct advantage to us, for our rules to be free to play. You know, it enables us to, a bit like League of Legends. I mean, I'm a huge League of Legends fan, and one of the things I love about Riot is the fact that they are consistently looking at their game and adjusting and tweaking their game in order to create the best possible experience for people. So we're trying to build in mechanics that will enable us to balance the game retrospectively. If we release something that actually ends up breaking it, we can basically tweak it back to make sure that, you know, the game isn't horrifically broken, like Hamelin in Mark One, for example. and basically, you know, keep everyone current without actually, you know, forcing them to constantly buy updated rule books.
Right. Okay. Joel Henry, I'm keeping an eye on the time, you see. So Joel Henry asks, why would he play it over Blood Bowl or Dread Bowl? What makes it stand out?
It's a different game.
Yeah, I think obviously when you mention football, people immediately think of those two systems, but it literally is a completely different game. We don't use a board. It's played on a tabletop. The models are more free-moving and free-forming. The way it plays is far more like a skirmish game than you know, like a board game, effectively.
The combo play really kicks in over and above those two games. That's probably the biggest distinguishing feature. I mean, you can talk about the quality of the models. I believe that our models are of the highest quality, and I don't think the other games match up, if I'm perfectly frank. I think there's some really great Blood Bowl sculptors out there, independent guys. So, you know, we're on a par with that, but certainly the stuff that I've seen for the other game, not so much for me personally. But I think that, you know, the game plays a lot more fluidly, a lot more dynamically. The agony of choice that you have between, you know, your resource management, your risk management, your positioning, your tactical play, your macro or your meta level, you know, playing your opponent, trying to, you know, subtly put bluffs in place. There's huge depth, and for someone like Joel who loves, you know, that tactical complexity and is clever enough player to take advantage of it, this game pays in spades. It really does.
I think, you know, it is just a different approach, and all, you know, Dread Bowl and Blood Bowl both totally have their places in kind of the wargaming community, but I think our game will definitely carve out a different niche for people.
And that is why Loxham is a nicer person than I am. Do you know what? I had a good chat with a guy, name dropping, right? I had a good chat with Cliffy B at a convention, and he said to me, he said, one of the things is just say what you believe. Be controversial. You know, don't hide behind kind of woolly marketing speak and trying to be nice about everyone. If you don't like a game, say that it's a piece of crap. You know, why not? Life's too short to kind of be to obfuscate. I can't even say it. What's the word I'm looking for? Obfuscate.
I will add to it that that is Matt's personal opinion and not on the record for Guild Ball.
Yeah, I was just going to explain who Cliffy B was for people who don't know. He created Unreal.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, in Gears of War.
Mark Shepherd asked several questions. I mean, we've covered them in other episodes, but, you know, you can reiterate. How big is the field of play?
3x3 can be any way you want. It can be icy fjord. It can be a lava level if you want. Can be a green, lush meadow, cobblestones. Yeah, you can play in towns. You can play in urban rubble, snowy fields, anywhere.
Cool. Does the game use terrain such as Fantasy Malifaux would?
Yes.
It does use terrain. I think on the terrain as well, the terrain actually affects things. For instance, if you're in a really nice kind of open grass section, it may help your generation of momentum when you're moving through that. So there is actual impact in the game of terrain that affects it.
So don't get the footy stuck in the
exactly.
The woods then.
Yeah.
mind the muddy patch.
You're trying to pass from behind a wall, you might struggle a little bit unless.
That's an interesting maths problem I'm having at the moment. Is I really want to be able to have you kick the ball off of a wall to a player, a bit like you play in five-a-side.
Yeah.
I want it to be a simple system, so I don't want the complex maths kind of working out the angle. So yeah, I haven't got to the bottom of that yet, but I will. I'll crack it, I promise you.
You just need to include a template.
Yeah, the trouble is the angle of incident needs to be reflected by 90 degrees, essentially.
Yeah.
But so a template is not going to cover that necessarily.
Well, a right angle triangle would there?
It might do.
You just had a little right angle triangle, you go line in, and then you're showing your line out.
Yeah.
To look at it. It's one of our test rules, anyway.
we'll crack it.
Yeah.
Mark keeps going. Are the goals at each end?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
Is the pitch set out like a football pitch?
Yes. No. Yeah. Well, it's not got lines on it. I mean, you can. There's no reason you can't paint lines on there. Don't see why not. But they don't play into the rules. You just need a goal at each end and a field in which to do battle.
He's very excited. He ends that tweet with.
Oh, good.
And then two people, Mark again and Robert Curry, ask about the influence of Arena Rex on game design. I think there was a tweet about your stat cards that you'd posted looking similar to Arena Rex ones.
Yes, it's an interesting story that actually. Obviously, supremely influenced by Arena Rex. I think it's a wonderful example of modern game design. And we really, talked an awful lot about what they had done. And we're influenced by it. But we've actually evolved past that point. Playtesting proved that the system that we had in place for the playbooks actually proved a little bit clunky. So we've streamlined that and retained the same amount of player choice, the same amount of player options, but it's far faster to resolve the actual hits now. So we've ended up with a really nice, elegant system that gives, all the advantages and none of the disadvantages of the previous system.
I think it's, it's fair to say on that point that, we're not inventors, we're designers. And there's a big difference there. We're not reinventing the wheel here. We're kind of developing it and making it better.
Mm. Awesome. Well, that's your questions. We're well over time again.
Sorry.
This is the last day we've got you, so
we'll come back.
What do you want the... We'll certainly have you back. What would you like your final listener takeaways to be?
I think everything we put, and we are being as transparent as we can about the whole process, because I think it's interesting for everyone to see what's involved in getting a game up off the ground and actually into production. So we're trying to share as much as we can over on our webpage. But actually, if you want the absolute up-to-date current news, the immediate posts go onto Facebook, which is facebook.com/guildball.
Okay. Loxham, anything to add?
Just same as Matt, that, we've been transparent with everything and we keep it nice and clear. And I think it's not only our dream that, I'm sure a lot of people have that kind of feel to make a game. And and me and Matt have been lucky to, with some connections and that, and the way we've worked together to be able to do this. And I think it's nice to share that with others, and hopefully, you know, we're going to produce a nice game and back us on Kickstarter.
Cool. Well, we'll certainly be talking about the Kickstarter when it goes live. For the last time, for the moment, they've been Matt and Loxham. I've been Mike, and I will see you next time.
Good night.
Good night.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.